to take notes, you know, I think you should always take notes because sometimes you just have to go back and look up those scriptures. These are cards. If you'd like one, raise your hand. Our ushers will hand them to you. Jot down the scriptures, take them home and study them. All right. Let's do that. Father, I thank you that you are amazing as always and forever. And I thank you that the amazing one has come to live inside of us. Put your hand on your heart and say, you live in me big. And I thank you that you open the ears and the eyes of our understanding that we would see and know your word today. It would transform us, just reveal things to us as we are called sent ones for the weeks ahead in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. I just want to encourage you. We do have a bookstore, and we had a little hiccup the last couple weeks, but it's up and running. And I'm going to touch on subjects like forgiveness and prayer. We got one back wall that's full of books about prayer. And one of the books are The Prayers That Avail Much. And when I first started, I had come out, as I say, came out of the Catholic Church. I knew three prayers. And I really didn't know anything else. So these books will just, you can fill in your name and just pray them. There's books about how to pray and whatnot like that. We're also going to touch on forgiveness. And they are some great books in there, mini books. So I'm just giving you a heads up what we're talking about. And visit our bookstore. Okay, and everything's half price and maybe a little less. I'm looking at Kathy. So good to see you, Kathy. Praise the Lord. All right, we're doing a mini-series. It ends today. It was a two-week mini-series, and it's about the Lord's Prayer and the faith, the Catholic faith. We called it the Our Father. So we're going to talk about the Our Father, and we want to look into it so that the next time you pray it, you are not praying it from up here. You're going to pray it from here, and you're going to have some understanding, and therefore it'll impact your life. So that's what we're doing. And so again, I was raised in the Catholic faith. And in the Catholic faith, they have, you go to confession. You go to confession. Some of you are like, what are you talking about, Pastor D? Well, if you've never been to a Catholic church, you walk in. They usually have a beautiful altar, though sometimes they're very plain. So the altar's up front. And on the side, they have confessional booths. Anybody know, heard of that? Yep, confessional booths here. And the confessional booth, there's a door, and the priest goes in the door of the booth. And the booth's probably about yay big, by this big. And he goes in the door, and he sits down. And you don't know he's in there because he gets there before you do, and you don't know who he is. But if you've been in church, church, and you've heard him talking, you're like, oh, that's Father so-and-so. I can tell. But anyway, so the priest goes into the confessional booth right there, and then you, as a parishioner, you go in your little door, and usually it's a curtain, and you go in your little area, and you kneel down, and there's this sort of screen where the priest's face would be, like a screen on a screen door, and there's a curtain, so you really can't see. But you see this shadow, and you know there's a priest there because he's going to start talking. So you go in there, and you go to your side, and you kneel down, and you say something like this. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was blank, 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 blank. Now, when I was in elementary school, I went to parochial school, and the nuns would take us every week. And I thought, they must have thought we were a big bunch of sinners. We were there every week for confession. Later on, I just trimmed it down to once a month. But anyway, so you go in this confessional booth, and you kneel down, and you tell the priest all your sins. Now, as a child, I kind of had like five things. I just would do the standard. Father, forgive me that I sinned. I lied to my mom and dad. I said a bad word to my sister. And let me think what else. I disobeyed my parents. I would just do that. I was a kid, all right? And then you do that. You tell them all your sins. Some of you are looking like, this is the goofiest thing. I know. So you go in, you tell the priest all your sins, and then he gives you penance. Penance are prayers that you pray for your sins, about your sins. And in the Catholic faith, they would say, well, do 5 Hail Marys and 5 Our Fathers or whatever. So then you may leave the confessional booth and you go back to your chair and you kneel down. And this is what I did. So I would pray really fast. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And he'd say 5 of them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, our Father, blah, blah. The reason why I would pray him fast is because if I prayed a long time, you saw me, you'd think, man, she is a big sinner. Look how long she's there. So he would just, oh my gosh, she's still there praying. So I'd pray really fast. So the reason why I tell you this, question, do you think those prayers impacted my life? No, they really didn't. And you know what? I think we can do that with the Lord's Prayer. All right? And we can do that with prayers, you know, and it's not impacting our life. So we end up by praying it from what? I was just praying it from my head. I memorized those babies, okay? I prayed from my head. And so, and in my case, I was praying it fast. So it really wasn't going to impact my life. So my goal today is that we're going to tear apart the last part of the Lord's Prayer so that when you do pray that, you're not going to do like I did. It's going to impact your life. All right, but it's going to impact your life. So that's my goal. And really is a beautiful prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer. Jesus said to pray it. And he didn't tell us to pray any other prayers except for this one. Though he did say, y'all ought to pray for your enemies. Y'all ought to pray for these things, okay? But this is his one specific one, okay? So we're going to dig into it, and my main idea last week is the same for this week, and it's basically if Jesus said to pray this prayer, it must be a prayer that's worth praying, all right? It must be a prayer that's worth praying, okay? And last week we talked about that prayer can be taught, which I'm going to touch on, and then prayer can be caught. So, you know, if if you go to Prayer for York on the 24th of every month, it's at different locations, you can go, and as you get around people that are praying, you can kind of catch little details and good ways to pray. Also, every Thursday at noontime, we have prayer here, and you can come and join us, and if you just want to sit there and just say amen, because you're catching, I'm okay with that. But eventually, you'll be like, oh, I can pray. So prayer can be taught, prayer can be caught. And you're not going to like this, but I am praying that you will catch a spirit of prayer. I pray for you all the time. Father, just get them so they just love to come into your presence and pray for others. God, just a spirit of prayer. Wah! So that's what I pray for you. Now, some of you might be like, hey, I never went to Bible school. Hey, I'm not a pastor. Hey, I got kids. Hey, I'm working. Listen, you don't have to pray as long as I do, but you can still pray. You can still pray, all right? And Jesus made this prayer so easy. It really is easy, all right? And how many of you have already memorized that, like, as a kid? Yeah. We're going to get it. We're going to get it today. So we're going to do what we did last week. We're going to say this all together. Okay, we're going to say the Our Father all together, or the Lord's Prayer. My group called it the Our Father. We're going to start in verse 9, go all the way through to verse 13. So y'all want to hear ya. You ready? They got it up? Good. Oh, you're a different translation. Pray whatever translation you like, okay? This one, ready? Pray then this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And all of you that know the doxology, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So I said last week that last part, the doxology, that was added by Queen Elizabeth in the 17th century. And in the Catholic Church, I didn't know that. I had to learn it from y'all. So, but you can pray that. It's really a cool ending, okay? But you're not going to find it in your Bible. So we're going to pick up in verse 11. Ready? Give us this day our daily bread. All right. Give us this day our daily bread. So in the morning when I get up, downstairs, put that coffee on, I go to my chair and my prayer chair, if you want to call it, and I'll read my Bible. I'll just kind of have glance around, but I pray. I've been praying this prayer for the last couple years, and when I get to this place where it says, give us this day our daily bread, sometimes I just pray it, you know, I get to this place and I'll stop. Okay, and I'll stop. So today I'd like you to stop there because that part is actually twofold. There's actually two things going on when you say, give me this day my daily bread. Okay, two things. It's talking about natural bread and spiritual bread. Now, when I say natural bread, it's not the kind that I love to put butter on. Okay, I do love my bread. It's not talking about that. It's talking about needs. Okay, it's talking about spiritual needs and natural needs, okay? That's when it's talking about bread that time. In context, that's what it's going. So when I say, give me this day my daily bread, I'm going, God, give me the things that I need in life, okay? And I pray that for all of you. I pray asking God to meet all of your needs, okay? I'm with you. I'm praying for you, all right? Now, when I say give me this day my daily bread, it also reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And I'm going to read it kind of quick, but you can just jot it down. Matthew 6, verse 26. Because Jesus says this. He goes, hey, look at the birds in the air. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store foods in their barns, they don't go to grocery stores. But your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? So what he's saying is, hey, if God meets the needs of these birds, they don't have to go to the grocery store, right? He meets all of their needs. Do you think he could take care of you? Do you think he'll meet your needs? Well, I'm thoroughly convinced. I don't know about you, but I am. Okay, the next part, verse 28. Look at the lilies of the fields and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, will he certainly take care of you? Answer the question, do you think he'll take care of you? Yes, okay, because he said it. Let me give you one more scripture. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. And it says this. And this same God who takes care of, okay, let me back up. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying it for the people here. So he goes like this. And this same God who takes care of me, will supply, just in case you didn't get it, all your needs from his glorious riches. How about you change that from his resources? Does that get a little bit bigger on side? He will take care of you with all of his resources. I love that. Which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. All right. How many of you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You are now in Christ. Right? We hit that subject this couple months ago. So you are now in Christ, okay? So and then he says, all your needs, you that are in Christ, will be supplied by his resources. All of your needs will be supplied by his resources. Now, sometimes I come a little light on my resources. You get it? Sometimes there's just not a lot in the kitty. Okay, I've had some days like that. But God says, hey, D, I have resources for you. I'm like, okay. Now, and he says, I have resources for you and I will meet all of your needs. Okay, now, the only time God will not meet all your needs, ready, is if you're lazy. None of you listening here today are lazy. I know it's somebody else. It's someone else out there, right? Okay? Okay. So, and you know that scripture, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians. If you don't work, you don't eat. Every mama knows that one, man. Okay. But, you know, sometimes there are circumstances that we can't work. You have something physical go on. You can't work, okay? Sometimes you lost your job and, you know, the job's not there. You can't work. And sometimes maybe you get retired and you're not working, okay? But God will, under those circumstances, he'll meet all your needs. But y'all lazy, he said, it won't work. That one doesn't work, okay? So none of us, all right? Yep, none of us, okay? But let's just say we are doing all that we know to do. You know, we are doing all that we know to do, and sometimes there's more needs than what's in my pocketbook, okay? I'm doing all that I knew do, and that, but just sometimes there are more needs that come up, all right? So again, if you're lazy, can't be going, God, meet all my needs, all right? But sometimes we've got more coming on. So look at this scripture here. Look at, let's go back to Matthew 11, 6:11, all right? 6:11, this is what I pray in the morning. Give me this day my daily bread, okay? So I've got some needs, and I'm going, God, give me today my daily bread. Anybody ever pray that prayer? Oh, man. Okay, and so I pray that prayer. Now, sometimes I have some screaming needs, all right? And I'll pray, God, today I got some screaming needs, and I thank you, you're going to meet my needs. And sometimes they're just things that just have caught up, you know, and I go, God, I got this thing going on. I thank you that you're going to meet my needs, and I just go through that. So I pray for me first, pray for me, and then I pray for you all. I pray for YCF. Father, if there's any needs, I thank you that you meet all their needs. Oh, and by the way, if you have a business, anybody own their own business? You could be praying that for your business. Father, I've got this need in my business. And I thank you that this is what it is, and I thank you this particular thing that you meet all my needs, okay? So I pray for YCF, for you all, and then I pray about our general fund. We have a general fund, and I know what all of our needs are, and I know what's in the general fund. And currently, how many of you, about 20 of you showed up because we had a little water issue going on, okay? So we are getting it fixed. There's actually three big problems going on. We're going to get it fixed. And it's a current need, okay? And we are not putting Band-Aids on the water issue anymore. Oh, yeah, the church flooded, like before Sherry's wedding, like down the door. Anybody know Fantasia, that movie? It was Fantasia down the stairs, all the water, and then in the mechanical room, which is AKA the junk room where we store everything, it was like Niagara Falls coming through the wall to the top. So we are going to fix that. No more am I doing shop vacs. I started coveting very particular shop vacs. Matter of fact, there are some really good ones. I was coveting them, but my back and shop vacs, we're going to do it. So, where am I going with this? So we have needs here, and I'm praying the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, this is a need, and I thank you that you're going to meet our needs, and you're going to stir in people's hearts to give for this need, all right? And again, I have to say, I pray for you. So if you call this your home church, and whether you're listening online, you regularly listen online, or you're here, I'm praying all your needs are met. And I don't know, sometimes you'll tell me, someone will say, who is it, Brian and Brianna, woo! They got smushed between the plumbing and then the HVAC. So I was praying, Father, they're my people. They're my people that call this their home church. And I thank you that all their needs are met according to your riches and glory, your supply. So I was praying for that. So I cover all my bases. I pray for me. I pray for the church. I pray for you. Okay. But how about you do some praying? You know, you're just waiting on me. You can pray this. Okay, go get this scripture, and you go, yeah, you really can pray this for yourself, okay? So go ahead, pray this for yourself, okay? And besides, Jesus just taught you to pray this, and it's really simple. And I'll throw another one. You have not, because you ask not. And he's saying you can go in and ask, all right? God, I have this need, okay? And thank you, Jesus. All right, enough of that. So that's talking about natural needs, okay, natural bread, okay? How about spiritual bread? Okay, so there's natural, and God wants to meet all the natural things. And then there's a spiritual side. So spiritual bread. Spiritual bread is like God takes the word. The word is called the bread. Yeah, how many know your Bible? The word is also called the bread. And God, and what God does is he'll open up the word to you. And my favorite prayer, Lane stole it. Ephesians chapter 1, he quoted it. Write this down. So what I am praying, Father, I thank you for my daily bread. I thank you for daily bread and the spiritual side. But there's also that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 16 to go about 20. And there's like three things the Apostle Paul prays for the church that now I'm the church. So I pray this for me. You can pray it too. And this is how I pray it. Father God, I just thank you that you open the eyes, my spiritual eyes, that every time I crack open this word, that you reveal all the puzzle pieces, that you give revelation. We go, revelation knowledge. No, God, I need to understand these pieces. You know, that's I'm just real rubber meets the road on that. So I pray that for me. And listen, who is it? John Olstein, what did he used to say? Raise your Bible. This is my Bible. Amen. So I kind of took John. I go, this is my Bible. This is the word of God. And I go, open my eyes of my spirit that I would understand and you just reveal what's in it. Don't you touch your Bible till you do that. Grab it in the morning. And I have, I'm telling you what, it just does that, okay? So I pray that. Now, you can pray it too. You better write that down. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at 16 through 20. Ephesians chapter 1, because you all are smarter than a fifth grader, okay? Plus, we have a book in the bookstore that teaches on that. Okay, now. So I pray this for me, and then I pray that for you. Father, if these people are part of y'all, my people that are planted and call this their home church, I thank you, Father, that you open up the eyes, their spiritual eyes of their understanding. You give them knowledge and wisdom every time they crack open that word. And you know what happens? It'll change you, and then go pray it for somebody else, and it'll start changing them. Because there's nothing... Okay, nice word. Can't think of a nice word. Dumber. Okay. There's nothing dumber than just, that's not the right word. Sorry. Okay. Then just reading your Bible and it's just going like this. But how about you pray and God will open your eyes that when you read it, it's here. And it becomes alive and it's making sense. And then I'm like, well, he's talking to me. This is mine. And we can do something with it. So I am not on my notes. So anyway, so I pray for me. I pray for you. It'll change you and it'll change everybody else. All righty. Now, spiritual bread. So I'm praying that prayer. And then I pray this. Lord, give me spiritual bread for today. Lord, give me spiritual bread to help me face whatever I'm going to face today. Lord, give me spiritual bread that will set me free. And then I get out of my me, and I go, Lord, give me spiritual bread that I would have words to help somebody else. Isn't that beautiful? And you guys, there's tons of you that just do that, okay? So I ask the Father to give me spiritual bread for that moment. All right, here's a cool scripture. Open up to John chapter 14, verse 25. John 14, verse 25. So I go, Father, give me bread for the moment, spiritual bread for the moment. Here's the scripture, ready? John 14, 25. These things I have spoken, this is Jesus talking, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, okay? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, okay? He will send you, and listen what he'll do. He'll teach you all things. He'll teach you all things, okay? Now, generally speaking, have you heard the Holy Spirit with a voice out here? I have not, okay? Maybe, all right, but I've heard it in here. You know that, OK, okay, still small voice. And so every time you open your Bible and the Holy Spirit is opening it up, so you read your Bible, you'll hear it. When you hear it taught, you'll hear it. And he causes it to become alive, all right? It's just exciting, all right? So the Holy Spirit, it says here, he is the teacher. He's the teacher. I love teaching. You give me 2 seconds. Who was it? Some friends were over at the house, and they had this little child, and she brought me this book. And right away, I go, Blue. Say Blue. I just do it. I just love it. The Holy Spirit's just loving to teach you every time you open up the Word, every time you're being taught. Amen. Okay, so I pray, Holy Spirit, just give me bread for the day, all right? And the second part of that says, and bring to remembrance all things that I said, that Jesus said, all right? So, whatever you heard Jesus say, whatever you read, whatever you were taught, y'all taught a lot around this place. You've been taught, okay? You were taught, okay? The Holy Spirit will cause it to bubble up, and you're like, wow, that is amazing, all right? So I always say, God, give me spiritual bread for today, okay? And it's just bananas. As I go through my day, something will happen, and all of a sudden I'll hear this scripture. I'm like, oh, that's just exactly what I needed for what's going on, all right? And it comes alive. That's spiritual bread. So everybody say, spiritual bread. Yum, yum, yum. Only kidding. You don't have to say that. Okay. So give us this day of this daily bread. Talks about natural bread, God supplying all your needs, and spiritual bread. Holy Spirit opening up the word. All right. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to read verse 12. Matthew 6, verse 12. And it says, forgive us our debts, some of your trespasses, whatever translation, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, have you ever had a clogged drain? Have you ever had a clogged pipe? Back when I was living on Palmer Avenue, and I got these girls with long hair, that kitchen, that bathroom sink would just clog up. First thing I do, because I didn't want to get gross first, is I get Drano, pour it down there. And then that didn't work. And then I have this piece of white plastic, and it's got these little barbs, plastic barbs that stick out of it. So I'll stick it in there, and it pulls up the stinky hair. It's just so gross, okay? And then I turn the faucet on, and if it doesn't clean it up, because it's bad, then I call the big guns in, call the plumber. And he comes in with a snake. How many of you know what the snake? Snake's not the one that crawls on the ground. It's this coil. Is that a coil? We call it a coil. And they go, and they plunge that thing in there, and then they pull it out, and then you put, just beautiful, beautiful. Okay? Aren't you glad you came to church to learn how to clean out pipes, right? But here's the thing. We have spiritual pipes, and they can get clogged, okay? And the way you unclog your spiritual pipes is you ask God to forgive you, to cleanse you. Write that down. Number one, they're kind of like two things. Ask God to forgive you and cleanse you. And number two, then you forgive others. That will get your spiritual pipes unclogged. It's just wonderful. So I'll sit down and I'll go down to my chair and got my coffee and I've read my Bible. I really do this first and I go, Lord, Father, if there's any sin, I just, Holy Spirit, you just bring it to remembrance. And he does. So then, I just kind of get cleaned up. Now, I have to say this. After about, I think I've been born again about 40 years. It only feels like 4 days because, just feel so young. But I do, let me back up. I do mess up, all right? Anybody else sin, mess up, after 40 years, I am not doing the big, the bad, and the dirty like I did 40 years ago, okay? The Holy Spirit's been working on me. I'm getting better and better. You're just amazing, okay? So I'm getting better and better and better, but when you start a sentence with a but, watch out. But I still sin. And you know what my but usually gets me? My attitude. None of you have ever had attitudes, right? My attitudes, I sin with my attitude, okay? And I sin by grumbling and complaining about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, okay? So My time in the morning, I just say, God, I thank you. Yes, Lord, just cleanse me from that. Just, I confess it and cleanse me for that. And I want to tell you, there is nothing better, even my amazing chocolate cake. There is nothing better than having your pipes cleaned with God. There's nothing better. There is nothing better. There's nothing better than just being all cleaned up, okay? Now, when I say cleaned up, there's no barriers between me and God. But I have to say this, God doesn't put up barriers. He's always, come on. God doesn't put up barriers. We do. We mess up, and the first thing I do is like, oh, I'm just not going to hang out there. Or I just, we just pull away. But God doesn't put barriers up. He's there. He's clean. Okay, so we do. So that's why we got to get it cleaned up, all right? So how many of you know 1 John 1:9? This is the second verse I memorized. The first verse I memorized as a new Christian is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, they're going to be okay. And then this one. And I got it down. So y'all memorize this one. If not, open up your Bibles. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. This is amazing, beautiful scripture. Probably wore it out in every Bible I had. Ready? 1 John 1:9. If we, your spouse can't do this for you, please. Okay. If we confess our sins, right? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that beautiful? If we confessed our sins, he's faithful. He's faithful. Oh, I love it. All right. So this is cleansing our conscience. This is cleansing our pipes. This is how you get your pipes clean. Now, I know this. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. I got that. I know that. And I know that now I am holy and blameless and righteous and just great. I know that. I know that. But, let me ask you a question. Let's say I wronged Pastor Sherry. We go at it sometimes. I wronged her, and I never repented and dealt with it. We have, not her. She's really good. Okay, but just you know. So, what would our relationship be like? I put up a wall. I put up a wall. You see her coming. I go this way. I put up a wall. She might put up a wall. And because we. We're not dealing with it. We're not dealing with it. So your pipes get cleaned, okay? Now, and that can happen with God. Again, I'm going to say, God doesn't put up walls. God doesn't clog your pipe, okay? But that can happen with God unless you go to God and you say, hey, God, I messed up. I asked you to forgive me, all right? So every morning I make sure that my pipes are clean, Father, and if I get quiet, some days I'm going, blah, 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 blah. But if I get quiet, shut up, be quiet, he'll speak to me and I'll go, that thing? Oh, yeah. All right. And then I get cleaned. I do a 180. I want to go quick, get away there, okay? Now, if I don't say, God, I was wrong, if I don't say that, I will probably keep doing that thing. And I start going in the wrong direction instead of going like this to my Father. My Father, who's faithful to forgive me, so you got to deal with it, all right? So it's cleaning. Now, probably none of you, but there are some areas that I go in and repeat all the time. Like I'm doing it again. I'm back in there again. Anybody have some of those? You just like, oh, here I am, okay. And mine are usually like, God, I'm sorry. And I'm going to keep doing it, but God, I'm sorry I had this attitude. I'm here again about this attitude. Or, God, I'm sorry I said this and this. And, he's faithful and just. But I'm going to make sure these pipes are clean. So praise God. Now, after I do all of that, that's the first part. That's you and him making sure your pipes are clean. The second part is that scripture is that you forgive others. This morning I had an amazing conversation about this, and I was like, yeah, we forgive others. Others, because they wronged you. Anybody have people that wronged you? I didn't do nothing, and they, what they do? Okay, I have people that wronged me, all right? Now, I want to make this statement, and it's going to sound like, well, who do you think you are, Pastor D? But I'm going to say it anyway. Listen, there is not a person on the planet that I have not forgiven. Now, 20 years ago, I had a list. I'll tell you, if you've not done this with your spouse, you go to bed at night, you know, even though we know, let not the sun go down on your wrath, and you're hanging on the edge of the bed, you didn't do it. Okay, I had unforgiveness, okay? I never slept on the sofa, but we hung on the sides of the bed, okay? All right, so I have come to the revelation that that is no fun. So I forgive people quickly. So I can tell you there isn't anybody on this planet that I have not forgiven, all right? I have not forgiven. Now, somebody might do something today. And by the end of the day, I'm going to have to go, God, I forgive them. And probably till the end of the week's up, somebody might do something. And I'm going to go, God, I forgive them. All right. But I am on a mission that there is nobody on the planet that I have not forgiven. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. So I'm clean, okay? I'm clean. So, again, there is no better feeling to know you do not. The King James says ought. You have ought. I probably put a bad word in there, but you have ought against somebody. There is nobody that I have ought, okay? And I'll give you a test, okay? You go to the grocery store, and I see that person. I have forgiven. I walk right up to them. 2 years ago, I had an opportunity, and I saw them, and I stood still for a second, and the Lord says, you forgave them. And I was like, that's right. Walking right up to them, and I go, hey, how you doing? I gave them a hug because I made a decision. There was going to be no clogged pipes with anybody, okay? There's no clogged pipes with anybody. No clogged pipes. Everybody say so. So I will pray. Father, I release them. I forgive them. I release them, okay? Now, sometimes we have difficulty forgiving people because we want justice. And we think they're not going to get justice. So I'm here to make sure you get justice. Okay, God gets justice. Just let him take care of it. He will take care of it. If they keep doing whatever, they're going to stand before the Lord. Okay, so you got it. And yeah, amen. Justice. Okay, so I forgive them, I release them, and by the way, I just decide I am not going to carry anything. And by the way, you are not equipped to carry that junk, that stinky stuff that was in the drain. Unforgiveness, all right? You're not equipped, all right? Now, a friend of mine taught this, and I'm just stealing it because I couldn't make it any better, and it really set me free. He said these two things, so I'm going to teach it today, okay? He says there's two kinds of forgiveness, closed and open. Closed and open. And when I saw that, I was like, bless God, I got this. I'm going to get free, okay? Because there's sometimes I have closed forgiveness and open. So let's talk about closed. Closed forgiveness is closure. You get closure. I'm making sappy noises about that, but it really is important. Closed forgiveness is you get closure. So you go to that person and you go, you were right. I was such an idiot. I'm so sorry. Okay, I get closure. We get closure. We deal with it, okay? Anybody ever get closure? Yeah, if you're married to somebody, you better be doing that. Okay, now, sometimes I will go to somebody and I get closure, but they did something big, bad, high, just bad, okay? So I forgive them. But I'm going to rebuild trust. Mama didn't raise an idiot, okay? So I go to them and I forgive them. But there's a trust that has to be redeveloped. But you go together, okay? So it's okay. And I can give you some more scriptures, but oh my gosh, looking at the time, we're not. Alrighty. Okay, so we're gonna work on trust. So close. How about open forgiveness? Open forgiveness, all right? This is when there's no closure. All right, there's no closure, all right? Maybe they won't even talk to you. Maybe you go to them and they're like, well, I'm not going to deal with this. I don't want to see it. I want to talk to you. Okay, and so maybe they can't talk to you for one reason or another, I don't know. Okay. So this is open forgiveness, because you can't, they're not going to deal with it. You can't talk to them. But I forgive them. You forgive them. Okay. So there's, you can't just go, well, they're not going to talk to me, so I don't have to do this. No. Okay. You go forgive them. All right. I forgive them. You still forgive them. All right. Now, I have some people that I have a lot of open forgiveness with. Let me say that nicer. There are some people that I am still in the open forgiveness stage because they won't talk to me. And I am pursuing them. I'm stalking them. That's okay. Okay, I do. I could tell you stories. One time I sat in a girl's parking lot till she got home because I was not going to have this. I didn't like what it was going to do in her life. I forgave. Okay. So if you see my car in the driveway, watch out. Okay. So they don't want to deal with it. And I'm like, okay, you don't want to deal with it. Okay, that's all right. But I'm ready anytime you are. And Father, I forgive them. I release them. Okay. Really important. You still have a part to do. And you know, we're kind of laughing. And I do know there have been some horrific things that have happened in people's lives. That this is, you know, should not have and whatnot. Okay, we still forgive. And I like when we were talking with somebody, forgiveness isn't a feeling. It is a decision. It's an action. Okay? And some days I go, I forgave them. Okay? So I forgive them. Because I am not going to allow what they did to be a burden on me. I'm not going to allow that. So I'm going to forgive them. And you know, years ago, we were in a worship service here, and I'm sitting here. Oh, la, 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 la. Some girl taps me on the shoulder, and she comes up, and she goes, Pastor D, I forgive you. I was like, great, hallelujah. I didn't even know. So this is what I have to say. Majority of the time, the person doesn't even know that you got unforgiveness. They're just walking around skipping and having a great old life, okay? But she knew. She knew, and that was it. We dealt with it, and it was great. Just great. So we have open forgiveness, okay? Now, open forgiveness is I'm forgiving them, but they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk to me. So a lot of times you set boundaries, especially on some gross sins that have happened in your life, okay? You forgive them, but you set boundaries, all right? You know, it's not safe to allow that person in your life. That's setting boundaries, okay? Now, I've had closure. I had closure, but they haven't, so amen. I think I said enough about that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. So the other day, it's not the grocery store where you hide in the aisle. The other day, my phone rang, and I saw this person's name come up, you know, their phone number. And I was like, and I knew there had been an incident where we both had had disagreements and words, and I'd forgiven her. And I saw this, and I thought, I'm going to pick it up and talk to her. But Dee, a couple years ago, I'm not talking to her, all right? And because I've learned that was... Warning, you've got a clogged pipe. So I picked it up right away and started talking to him. Now, I will say, sometimes I don't pick up your call because maybe you're a long talker. Just maybe. And I'm on a mission and I'm doing some things, okay? So don't get it personal here, all right? All right. But listen, I want to deal with it and I deal with it right away. And I am a free woman, hallelujah, because I don't let this stick, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, enough of that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Matthew 6, 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, that first part. Do not lead us into temptation or tests. You like that word? So what we're saying is, God, don't test us. That's what we just said there. God, don't test us. So what does that mean? So before I get into that, you have to know this. God never, number one, he can't. Number two, he will never test you with evil. He will never tempt you to sin. That is not his nature, and I can give you 21 scriptures, but just go look it up yourself, okay? So you have to understand that, because if you don't, you will have this wrong attitude with God. And it just goofs you up, all right? So God never tempts you to sin. He never tempts you with evil. Never, 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 okay? And if you don't have this right thinking, you're just going to carry things in your life that's just ridiculous. So when I say, God, lead, oh, okay, how about this one? So God doesn't tempt us with evil, and he doesn't tempt you with sin. And somebody said to me once, well, what about God? He led Jesus into the wilderness and tempted him with the devil. Good scripture. So that is true. But, I love, but God had to do that with Jesus because the first Adam, the guy in the garden, failed the test. So Jesus is called throughout the New Testament the second Adam, the final one. The second Adam had to go past the test that the first Adam failed. He failed, baby, right? So the second Adam, Jesus, had to pass the test. And guess what? He passed the test. Jesus passed the test, all right? He wasn't tempted. He didn't do anything that Satan was trying. So we are not tested like that. Never, never, never. So I just had to say that. Someone threw that at me, and I'm like, what? Okay, so turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 13. Now, so God is never going to tempt you to sin, lead you with evil. He doesn't do that. But we live on a broken earth. We live with broken people, and we got an enemy, all right? And they will, okay? But God does not. God does not. God does not tempt you with evil. God does not tempt you with sin. Amen? You all over at James chapter 1? Here we go. James 1, verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. And then he goes on, God never tempts to do wrong. He never tempts anyone, all right? So, God is not the tempter. Everybody say, God is not the tempter, right? Who is? The devil, and he will, I guarantee. We have people that are just messed up, broken, not walking with God, they will do it. And then just the earth. So that's how you can have evil temptations and all that, all right? So God is just the opposite of tempting you with evil. God is just the opposite of tempting you with sin. All right, so turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. All right. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. All right. Now, in other words, all of us are going to be hit with garbage. All right? Everybody is going to be hit with junk, temptations and stuff like that. But it's common to everybody. All right? So somebody may be struggling in this area, but I got news. There's somebody else on the planet that's been through the same thing. You are not so special. Oh, it's just me. No. It says common to mankind. All right? So we're all being tested. It's just common. All righty? So keep reading. And God is faithful. Now listen to what God does. Number one, he's not bringing the test. Listen, he will not let you or allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. So it's sort of like God says to the enemy, stop, don't mess with them anymore. All right. That's kind of how you can interpret it. All right. But I like the last part. But when you are tempted, not by God, by our enemy and people and stuff like that. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way of escape. Okay? Any of you have ever gone to those escape rooms? Don't ask me to be on your team. I didn't still be in there, okay? But you know what this is saying? God has a way of escape for you. All right? So I am going to encounter temptations. I am going to have things that just are just pulling me, okay? But number one, I can overcome it because I got the one who lives inside of me, and then I've got God's grace that empowers me, and I'm not even going to get into that. So I can overcome it. But while I'm overcome, and I'm not a quitter, I'm more than a conqueror, so I do that. But then I go, Father God, I thank you that you make a way of escape. So Father, I thank you that you didn't bring this. I thank you, Father, that I am going to overcome this. But Lord, open that door. I'm ready. I pray that. Now, what does that look like? Oh, lots of things. I can't even go through that. But listen, God doesn't give it to you, but you can endure it, and then he gives a way of escape, the escape room door. Amen. So what about when people say God tempts them? Listen to Proverbs 17, Proverbs 17, verse 3. Or I should say, how does God tempt us? I'm going to trick you on this. Ready? How does God tempt us? Proverbs 17:3. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. So how does God test us? He tests our heart. What do you mean he tests our heart? Okay, this is what it looks like. The Lord will ask you to do something, and we'll talk about some of that, and he's just going to see if you're going to be obedient. Okay, that's all that test your heart is, all righty? So let me tell you a story in the Old Testament. It's Abraham, and sometimes they're big tests. I always go, lead us not, Lord, into big tests. I've had enough of them. So sometimes they're big tests and sometimes little tests, but here's an Old Testament story, big test. Abraham, God comes and talks to Abraham. Abraham is old. He and his wife Sarah have not been able to have kids. Something went wrong. There's no fertility doctors that are working, so they're really old, and God comes to Abraham and he says, hey, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Hey, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Okay, and Abraham goes, God, I'm old. And God says, I'm going to do a miracle. Okay, God says he's going to do a miracle. And so God does a miracle, and he has the baby boy Isaac, right? And then Isaac comes of age. He just grows up, all right? And God comes to Abraham, and he says, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, a.k.a. I want you to put him on the altar, put a knife in him. All right? I want you to sacrifice him. Okay? Now, this is the part that's kind of morbid, so you got to listen to the whole story here, all right? But this is what you have to understand. When God asked Abraham to do that, Abraham had already been talking to God. He knew his voice, and actually, the Bible says an angel of the Lord showed up. It was Jesus. He's having a face-to-face with Jesus. Jesus shows up, and he says, Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son. He is having face-to-face. He knows it's God. Now, some days I'm like, you know, was that God that was telling me to do this? I don't know. Maybe it was. No, Abraham knew. He knew the voice of God. God had been talking to him throughout the years. He had seen miracles, and he'd asked, actually, it said, the Bible says it was Jesus who showed up and told him this. So, also, in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham says this, and Abraham was convinced if God told him to kill his son, he knew God would raise him up. He knew his God. Sometimes God asks us to do things. No. Abraham had there was that point in his life over and over. He knew his God. And he said, well, God, if you tell me to kill him, I know that you'll raise him up. So Abraham, you know, goes up there. And, of course, he doesn't do that. And, by the way, God never is going to ask you to put a knife in your kid. He's not going to ask you to kill your kid, okay? Just how to say that. There's some goofy things going on, okay? He'll never do that. So Abraham's like, I know that the Lord will raise him up. I've had many conversations. I've watched God. Golly gee whiz, I had a miracle. I had a son. So this is what I want you to see, and this is what I want you to understand. God asked Abraham to give back to God the blessing that God gave him. God asked Abraham to give back the blessing. God, I'm going to say this because you know you're going to get it. God asked Abraham to give back the blessing that God had given him, all right? Now, as the story goes on, all of a sudden a lamb shows up, and the lamb represents Jesus as the sacrifice, so he sacrificed the lamb, so he didn't have to kill Abraham, all right? I mean, Isaac, Abraham didn't have to give Isaac. So God will test you to give back what he has given you. That's one. He might ask you to give more financially. And who gives you everything? The Lord, okay? He might ask you, and this is where he gets me all the time. He might ask you to do something, like walk on the water, okay, to serve him in a different level, in a higher level. So those are the tests, all right? And this is what's happened to me. When God has asked me, and I really don't like using the word, but it is the word test. When God has tested me and asked me to do some things, and I do them, I'm like, I get double blessed. There's promotions that come, and I'm like, why did I bawl and squall, all right? But I do, all right? So God will test, meaning he will ask you to do things to show your obedience to him, okay? So this is me. Father God, lead me not into temptation. Don't test me with big things. I've already had a big things, but Lord, I'll serve you, okay? So when God says, Dee, I want you to do this, and I go, are you sure? You know, God, I got a lot going on. I don't know that I have time. But then I go, okay, Lord, I will obey you. I obey you. And then it's just wonderful what happens in my life. All right. Wow. You can finish the rest. I like 5 pages ago. Okay. So how about let's stand up. We're going to pray our prayer one more time. Sorry, I was just having so much fun that I didn't look. Hallelujah. So let's do our Father or the Lord's Prayer, and I'll let you out of here. You ready? Here we go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You can figure out the last part. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. Jesus, I thank you for making this simple prayer that we can apply in our life as we pray for ourselves and pray for others. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just continue to make this alive in our hearts. And I challenge people to continue to just take time in it. Maybe not breathe through it fast, take time of it. In Jesus' name, hey, this is a holiday weekend. Woohoo! Y'all off on Monday. Have a wonderful Monday. If you would like prayer, come on up. Coffee's good. Hang out. I love y'all.